Australian Bible Church, a Presbyterian church, focusing on Christ, the eternal Word of God made flesh, and featuring the written Word of God, alone given to mankind from Him, and received with delight, rejoicing that we have such authority, we have such information, and that it is right from the presence of the Almighty. The costly divine monopoly is our feature today. The exclusive salvation, which belongs to God, and which through the cross He can expropriate, that is to say, He can bring out into another environment, another field, the salvation which is in His power, in His presence, and in His purpose, is exported as in an expedition. Let's think of it as an expedition, the salvation of God becoming available to man. Firstly, the expedition has clothes provided. The clothes were the womb of a woman. That was its clothing. As you see in Matthew 1:23, a virgin. As you see in Micah 5:3, he whose goings are eternal was the one who took that clothing, a woman's womb, that he might participate in humanity and as man provide for mankind, as many as received him, that eternal life which was his own property and gift. Then, where did he get his comforts from? From the poor. Where else? Let's look at Isaiah 53 verse 2 and stay there for a little while. Isaiah 53, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Nothing super robust, tender. And as a root out of a dry ground. Nothing splendid there. Nothing of amazing strength there in its human cover. A root out of a dry ground. The sort of thing you would pass by very readily. As far as that side of things went, no privilege. Then, the expedition had power. A direct donation from deity. Whose goings are from eternal, says Micah. And 11:20. Of Luke, if I by the finger of God cast out demons by whom the all sons cast them out. He is making it clear that he is as intimately personal as God as a finger, not somebody else's. And so we have the power that comes from the direct donation of deity. And a power which was shown in ways so amazing that even the high priest, who was an unbeliever, thought the only way to get rid of the problem of this competition and danger politically was to murder him. They must have been desperate, and they would be when they are confronted with the power of God. He came with the sending of his Father, God so loved the world that he gave, and the cooperation of the Spirit. He has given authority to pardon sin from the heart of God. If I, which is easier, he said, that I should say, your sins are forgiven, which he had said to the paralytic, or get up and take up your bed and walk, which is easier. So he told the man to get up and walk, and this was a practical laboratory of life experiment showing that he had the power to forgive sin. The power of God himself not only authenticated the truth of the statement, but did so with power all but inexpressible. When you consider the fantastic complexity of the human body as he created it, to be able to turn all the fantastically sophisticated interlocking parts that are required in the nervous system, in the body, in the musculature, and so on, to turn all that into walking, take up his bed. What a triumph of laboratory exhibition. So we have looked at some of the equipment that was used for the expedition of the everlasting Word of God into the form and format and function of a man with the power to save sinners. Next, let's look at the Word of God, which witnesses the salvation. Let's look at Isaiah 43, 9 and 10, the hugely emphatic expression of it way back in the Old Testament. Isaiah 43:9-10. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witness, that they may be justified. Who can compete with the way God predicts things? Who can compete with God's control of history? Do it, or realize that there's only one who does this, and he is God. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and the servant whom I have chosen. If you know and believe and understand, I am he. Before me there was no God. Formed. Such a thing didn't happen. Nothing didn't produce everything. God produced all creation. Before him there wasn't anything. But he was there. And that's how creation was brought to pass. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. And besides me, there is no Savior. It doesn't exist. The universe doesn't possess one. It's not content without it. But it won't be content with the one that is. Salvation involves rigorous reality and realism. Most will not put up with it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be, the then said Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. Not only is he presented as inescapable truth, but its contradiction is prohibited. It is a lie. and alternatives are lies, frauds, fussiness of fidgety minds that will not have faith in what is there and demonstrated to be there over thousands of years. Neither heaven nor earth have anything else as savior from sin. Sinners without the Savior are without salvation. The work of God also, as well as the Word of God, attests this solitary Savior who yet is not alone, being a member of the Trinity. Let's consider the works on this field. Redemption occurred through one act by one person on one occasion, at courtesy of Daniel's presentation, which was inspired of God, on one predicted date, precisely, in one predicted way, as we're reading in Hebrews 9 this morning. Without him, there is nothing. Through him, there is everything. In one predicted way, with one precisely predicted resurrection, after just 3 days, he made the laboratory of life tests very stringent, as was only reasonable. It could be multiplied only in dreams. Many are they who have dreamt multiplications of this unique act, as unique as God is, the Almighty. This is not playing, this is work. And the work of salvation once is quite sufficient. Let's revert for a moment to Hebrews 9. Not that he should offer himself often, 9:25. As the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another, he then would have had to have suffered often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There's one of him, and there's one sacrifice. What do you expect? And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after that the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time without sin unto salvation, apart from sin, finished with it. Done the anti-spiritual virus that is always sufficient forever. So we continue to look at the works of God manifesting his salvation. Multiplication. No, very clearly forbidden. Forbidden is ridiculous. Therefore, the Roman Catholic idea that you can have many masses which in some way reify, make into actual history, that somehow bring to a sort of life of their own, Christ over and over, is a fantastic fraud. Confused or not, It is diffusing deceit. In a miracle, you have an observation, something happens that you must explain. The data are there. The explanation is awaited. Christ said, I have power on earth to forgive their sin. The event occurred. What you can see and verify. The explanation followed. But in this, the Mass, the explanation is given, but the event doesn't occur. It is not visible. It has no impact. We're not able to say, there it is, we must explain it. There's nothing to explain. There's nothing to see. There's no miracle. Period. But that's just one of endless dreams that have gone over the ages. People dreaming up more worldly alternatives, more convenient alternatives, more self-satisfying alternatives, more profitable alternatives. Yes, they shall make merchandise of you, Peter predicted, of those who would falsely misuse the name and work of Christ. We continue to look at the work involved in salvation. That was a mighty work. Sacrificial prophecy may also be seen condensing like fog into history. That which had been sketched in words was fetched in fact. Sacrificial prophecy, Isaiah. Psalm 22, the resurrection, Psalm 16. The whole array of psalms, poetic jewels, but scientifically testable facts. And they are tested. And the splendor of the sovereign God is shown in such meekness as to delight the heart with such prodigious willingness to reinforce the heart. But, right at the first, a false church, one that didn't recognize its author, authority, and Lord, and Savior, rejected him. He had to put up, not only with being rejected and crucified, but with being treated with contempt of spiritual riffraff. Look at Isaiah 53 on this point. This has to be borne. Verse 3 of Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, yes, he had plenty to get along with knowledgeability of the landscape of sorrow. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we didn't esteem him. What do you think of him? Oh, I don't think anything of him. I think it's just, it'll pass. No, it hasn't passed in a few thousand years. Surely the fact is he has borne our griefs. Here is the explanation of the fact where prophecy condensed like fog into history, like visibility. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken. Oh, I reckon God must have hit him. Yes, he did, as a sacrifice for sinners, such as those who rejected him. And so error expands right from the first. Anything other than that, save me from this. You hear the cries to be saved from the Savior. Well, I couldn't stand that. You have it in so many forms. You have it in the Mohammedan case. They just omit the cross from their religion, which has so many parts from elsewhere. They omit it. Or, on the other hand, there were the Arians, A-R-I-A-N-S, right back in the earlier days of the church. They omitted his deity. He could be on the cross. And then more recently, the Barthians, B-A-R-T-H-I-A-N-S, the Barthians, Karl Barth. They just omit the Christ. They sketch in words which change their meaning. The virgin birth equals the grace of God. You just omit the thing itself and use words to mean something else. How clever the devil has been in his multiplied confusions. Jerome, one of the early famous exponents of Christianity, he said of the Arian one, going back to that, that the whole world groaned under this and it nearly took over the church, but it didn't. And instead you got the marvelous Chalcedon Council with its tremendous emphasis at the light. The gates of hell, said Christ, will not prevail against it. And they didn't. And they don't. And these are the elements surrounding salvation, the works. We've looked at the words, now the works, and these are of them. And then we look at the Prince of Life, as he's called, in those early days at the beginning of the church. They were guilty of crucifying the Prince of Life. Quite an attainment, if you want to look at power and misinterpret provisions from deity with power by grace for the sacrificial reality required, because, to repeat, the universe has no other savior from sin. There isn't an alternative. There isn't an option. If you reject him, you're condemned already, we are told in the scripture. So the Prince of Life became a postman. Instead of delivering letters, he delivered himself up. You read of this in Romans 8:32. Let's start at 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, if the only God has given us the only Savior in the only acceptable manner through the cross, and we have accepted it, and the resurrection, which is part of its authentication, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, if the only God has given us the only salvation there is, if we have accepted it, if we received him, as many as received him, to them gave him the authority to become children of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? If you trust him to save you, let it be so. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up like a postman, he is the letter, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also Us, by the way, of course, is Paul and the Christians that he is referring to. That's the topic. How shall they not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. And so we have looked at the Prince of Life acting as a postman to deliver up himself. He was guaranteed by God. Oh, yes. Look back at Psalm 91. The devil tried to make use of that to induce Christ through temptation to do a foolish thing, but Christ would not. Psalm 91. He shall cover you with his, verse 4, with his feathers, and under his wings shall you take refuge. Verse 6, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lies waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look back and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Such is this messianic hymn, this messianic Psalm 91. Guaranteed by God. No chance event. Nothing will strike through the anti-missile cover. And the missiles are the mischiefs of the devil. Guaranteed by God. When in person upon earth, he was actually actively seen over years, showing the power, the salvation, and the grace of God. Activistically, continually, effectually, demonstrably. And proceeded to pay the cost. Sometimes silence is more eloquent than oratory. Let's turn back for a moment to Isaiah 53. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. The sacrificial ceremony was at that point silent. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was taken from prison to judgment. Who shall declare his generation? Meaning, who will be able to tell his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? No offspring. Just like a flower, cut off, thrown away. Performance excels prophecy by the deed. When it's done, it's there. It's exhibited, it's manifested. Its vigor, its vitality, its reality is all demonstrated. And so it was here. It is this which gives to each of Christ's redeemed servants this word, this work, this reality, this fulfillment, this actualization. It was this which gives to each of Christ's redeemed servants in him the title deeds to the truth. The truth. To know what it actually is, free of philosophies, made spectators of reality. And also given is a place for themselves. Zechariah 3:9 tells us about it, that there shall be an inscription on the rock, and the sin of the people, that is of course the believing people, the sin of the people will be taken away. Yes, yes, what does it say? It will be inscribed on the stone, on the rock, and taken away, yes, in one day. In one day it will be taken away. The day of salvation. One diurnal event. One time which would cover action. Good Friday. And of course all the supplemental realities, verifications, authentications. But that did it. Good Friday. Then one day. And even Zechariah was prophesying it. The sin inscribed on rock. The rock is crushed. And the sin with it. The iniquity of the land is removed in one day, says Zechariah. One person, one event, says Hebrews. It's always the same. Trust him to the end, for it's the same from the beginning. The same message, the same marvel, the same mercy, the same predictions, the same fulfillments, the same condensation of the prophetic word, the sacrificial prophetic word, into reality. It happens once. Let me repeat that. Trust him to the end, for it was he from the beginning. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise thee. Thou art Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of all creation. And you're the end of the end for those who deserve it, who put their trust in thee. How we thank thee, Alpha and Omega. Amen.